Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more. Because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show, where we discuss the concept, history, and application of Black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own society based on freedom, justice, and equality. And our mission, and yours, if you accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation and its various implications as a viable solution for Black people. We will also analyze historical and current separate societies and consider their models for implementation of our own. This week, we're having our separation preparation panel discussion. We'll discuss current events from a separation point of view. And more importantly, we will answer your questions. How do we build a model society or community? What should it look like? And what about those who are still in the cities and aren't able to physically separate? Well, these are all good questions, and hopefully we'll get to them. But most importantly, we want to answer the questions that are most important to you. You're listening to the show, and you are very special to us. And because you are the individuals that are considering and understand the importance of separation. So right now, we have some of our task force coordinators on the line, and I'm going to bring them on and we'll begin our show. The first one on the line is Sister Mary. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mary.
Walaikum salam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. Thank you for coming on board. Would you like to tell our audience a little bit about your task force, and then we'll bring on our next task force committee coordinator.
Yes, sir. The Self-Sufficiency Living Community Task Force deals with natural living concepts, just going back to the land and learning to live a natural existence without being under the control or under the influence of the Caucasian and his culture. So we deal with everything from solar energy, different ways of accessing water, digging your own well, building your own homes, making your own medicine, of course, growing your own food, and just being totally self-sufficient. That's what our task force deals with, going back to the basics of living is.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, the next task force committee head we have on is Sister Majida Muhammad. I'm going to open up her mic. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Majida Muhammad.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton and Sister Mary. How are you all doing? Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Kareem. Praise be to Allah. And you want to give us a little brief overview of what you've been up to or a little bit about your task force, Sister Majida Muhammad?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm a member of the Physical Relocation Task Force, and as you know, and hopefully our listeners are learning, that the Physical Relocation Task Force, in essence, is to represent and promote that black folks, us, should live physically separate communities from whites, as taught to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we're here to assist those believers and like-minded individuals, black folks, that want to have physically separate communities from whites. And so we're here to help assist in the not only the promotion, but in the establishment of those communities.
Praise be to Allah. And we also have another one of our task force members on, Brother Tony Muhammad. I'm going to open up his mic. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Tony. Brother Tony Muhammad, are you there?
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton. Just driving through this Atlanta traffic right now, so excuse me for being a little tardy on responding. But the Skill Trades and Apprenticeships Committee, we are dedicated to establishing a network of skilled tradesmen, craftsmen, so that we can be able to make good on our promise to build and maintain our own separate state territory of our own. As you know, we can't do anything unless we have the actual skills to functionally establish a separate state or territory. It's based on the actual statement that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad made, message to the black man, that we have been chosen to build a better world. And so we couple that with the fact that we need to be able to pass on those skills to the next generation so that they can become better craftsmen and skilled tradesmen with the apprenticeships program. Now, we don't currently operate an apprenticeship program, but part of what we're doing is currently we're dealing with a few people who have been interested on the website, the actual Facebook page, Ma'at Mastery Apprenticeship Agriculture and Technology. We're just kind of serving in that capacity in terms of helping to guide the young people who are interested in skilled trade. So that's what we're doing currently with that. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us, Brother Tony. So all you craftsmen, skilled laborers, scientists, engineers, builders who are interested in lending their expertise and talent to help build a nation of our own, this is the brother you want to contact. And last but certainly not least, I see we have our brother, Minister of Agriculture, Dr. Ridgely Mufmeen and the founder of the Time to Leave movement. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Are you here?
Yes, sir. Not now. I heard you a minute ago, Dr. Ridgely.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Okay. Well, y'all get started, and I'll chime in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I am going to just start the ball rolling, and then we can just take it anywhere you all want to take it. And definitely, I will break in as gracefully as possible, of course, when we have someone who wants to ask a question. So I'm in Oakland, California now, and I'm doing some work here. And one of the news items that has really made it big news, I didn't think it was going to be that big, there's a Caucasian lady who interrupted a barbecue that was going on here at a popular location called Lake Merritt in Oakland, California. And which you all know the details because I'm sure you read about it on Facebook and it's even made broadcast news. But, you know, in watching that, to me, that's the kind of thing that we can avoid if we have our own separate community. You know, Black Twitter and social media has really made life, my understanding, real difficult for this Caucasian lady. However, we shouldn't even have to go there. We should be able to control whether people are who's coming into our communities while we're having recreation time. Any comments?
Yes, this is Sister Majida. I did actually see that news article, and as I had mentioned to you via email, that you know I had shared it with some family members, and we were watching it and discussing it, and just looking at the nuances and the actions in today's time of just how easy it is for us to become victims, whether it's to be jailed or even lose our lives, just by a simple act that someone else deems is offensive to them. My thing, and like you said, it can be avoided when and if we have those communities of our own, for sure. But the reality is we're here in these cities. Many of our people are here in these cities. So how do we separate ourselves? Can we separate ourselves into, for lack of a better word, enclaves or areas or communities where I believe it was the caller, was it last week, was talking about how he was in his own community, a community that he was raised in by his parents among Black folks for so long. I think we just have to get into the mindset that success and our success, growth, health, and development is not living among them, trying to do everything they do, trying to enjoy every idea of success that we think is success, which is an idea that was sold to us by them. We're in these cities. It's easy to say we can avoid it just by having our own communities, but we don't have them, you know, and we're here and we're in these instances repetitively. So how do we separate within the cities? Like right now, what can we do to avoid Becky? I mean, she stood post for 2 hours.
Barbecue Becky.
I watched her, but my whole thing is I was watching her mannerisms the whole time, and when that other white woman approached her, how she interacted with her as opposed to how she was interacting with her brother, and then when things were going south for her, they weren't going the way that she wanted. What lengths she was willing to go to ensure that she would have the outcome she wanted, meaning that something negative, even if it meant loss of life, was going to happen to those brothers out there trying to barbecue.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
You know, my thing is, how do we just start to come out of trying to live their lifestyle among them and just be to ourselves within these cities until we can leave.
Thank you for that answer, sister. Right now we have another one of our panel members who's joined us, and I'm sure she's chomping at the bit to comment on this issue. But before you comment, Sister Ann, if you could tell us a little bit about your task force. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, I am on the assisted living task force, and the purpose of this task force is to investigate and look into all of the options that are available to provide homes and places of abode for our elderly and those who are infirmed and need some assistance in their daily living. So we are continuing to look into that, and hopefully that can be, just like now, we're reading about and learning about agri-goods. We also need to consider neighborhoods around our elderly where, you know, there could be several neighborhoods. And one neighborhood could be centered around an elderly assisted living facility. And most of the people in that community could be people that may be employed in some form or fashion by that particular entity. So that is the assisted living community. But, you know, I suppose my thinking on a separated, it doesn't seem such a far-fetched and incomprehensible idea. And I think the thing that makes it so easy in reality to make it happen for me is the fact that I'm here on Muhammad Farm in Southwest Georgia.
Sister Ann, we're having a little trouble hearing you. We're having a little trouble hearing you, Sister Ann.
Okay, I don't know.
There's some noise in the background.
Okay, hold on a second. Is that better?
Yes.
I hear that noise, but I don't know where. Okay.
Go now.
Okay. I don't know what that noise was. I moved to another location.
It's better. Stay there,
anyway,
sister.
Yeah, but anyway, as I was saying, the Assisted Living Task Force is designed to look into options for our elderly and those in our nation and outside of our nation who can agree to whatever covenants we establish for people living among us. And I think we have the right to do that. Other so-called gated communities have covenants that the people who live there must abide by. And you have people that make sure that none of those covenants are broken. And everybody know in advance that this is what we expect of you if you're going to be a resident among us.
So what's the difference between the covenant and the contract, Sister Ann?
It's basically the same. A covenant, so it is a contract, really. But some covenants you don't have to sign as a binding agreement. Like in government housing. I don't know whether or not those people have to sign anything stating that they're going to abide by certain rules, but they do have rules. But I think a covenant and a contract basically can be the same.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I don't think a covenant, in my experience, has to be worded in such a legalese contract. A covenant, to me, can be more understandable. But we will have attorneys that will look into all of that, I'm sure, when we are ready to get to that stage. But I started to say why us separating into communities of our own does not seem so far-fetched to me, because Dr. Rizzo and I are here on the nation's 1,600-acre farm. And so to speak, we have no neighbors. And all of our off-farm activities take some time to accomplish, at least a half hour, sometimes more, sometimes depending on what we have to do off the farm, but to just go to the next city, maybe even Dawson, you're going to say in driving it's going to be at least 30, 35 minutes both ways. 15, 17 minutes one way and back again, and then taking care of your business, which is not bad. But being here is such an atmosphere of peace and calmness. And I just wish that for everyone, all of the believing family, because I've talked to people. I have a nephew, as a matter of fact, and his wife live in the city of Atlanta. And she used to call her mother-in-law, my sister, sometimes on her commute home. And she would be stuck in traffic trying to get home after work for 2 to 3 hours. I could not imagine that. Because being here in a small community, which I love dearly, in this small community, I can go anywhere and not be confronted with a traffic jam.
Right.
Traffic accidents are rare. You rarely hear a siren. You know, the crime rate is low compared to other communities. And my husband and I were marveling at even the public school here. The high school and elementary school, because of the migration of whites from this area, the older people who live here, as they die off, their children are not coming back. So the population is getting darker and darker. So the high school is, I would say, 98% black, and they have an extremely high graduation rate. And in a small town like this, your graduations, your sports events for your schools, they are very, very big events. The entire community turns out. Sometimes you have businesses closing down. And all of this is for those activities, which include the vast majority of black people.
Right.
So that to me has to have some kind of, I guess, inward appeal and motivation and boosting of self-esteem for the community, because they see all of our children, all of our black kids, all of our black children participating in these activities, even the so-called parades that they have during the holiday period. Or, you know, basically a lot of the black community is involved in that. So even though we don't have to be involved in those things, they set a tone for the community. The community seems to be one where in the olden days, I would say, when I was a young person or very young, before I reached teenage status, I can remember in our neighborhood, and I still see that, and it just touched my heart when I go through a black community and just see black people sitting out on their porches conversing with each other, children in the neighborhood playing together. You know, that really touched my heart. And we don't have that anymore in our city, because everybody's afraid of somebody coming through.
Right.
Or we're not supposed to be in that community abducting or batching up their children. That's no way to live. And what are the children feeling when they have to be told, you know, you have to be always looking out. You know, somebody comes through the neighborhood and just snatch you up and put you in a car. what is that doing to our children? And how much of this good lifestyle that we supposedly are living now are we willing to just sacrifice for the sake of having a peaceful, safe, secure environment for ourselves and our children? You know, I look on Facebook.
If I can interrupt for a minute, Sister Ann. Yes, ma'am. I was going to say, you have set some good questions. And I think based on them questions, it would be good if some of our other panel members can respond.
Yes, well, sir.
Can I just say, you Sister Ann, one of the things that came to my mind when you were painting this picture, because you're living it, some of us, we don't even know that kind of life exists or can even exist. Some of us have grown up generationally in these cities to a way of life that we've become accustomed to as being life. So, you know, the thing is, how do you put that information there to where we can now choose? Because, again, like I say, some of us don't even know that that kind of peace, we say Islam is a religion of peace, but then a lot of us don't even know that kind of peace, you know, where you're talking about an actual place where you could go and be peaceful and not have the distractions that you have in these cities.
Right, right. And that is why one of the first facilities we want on this farmland, other than the home that we live in, is a center for visitors to be able to come and for a week or two get that experience.
Yes,
to see what it's like to live in an environment of total peace and harmony. And we are working towards that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, when I found out that the white man was a devil, for me, that was the beginning of separation, and I've been trying to figure out how to separate from those people. So if we are finding it hard to separate from them, we somehow believe that they are going to change and be better. I know they just married a woman into the royal family, but then, you know, that's just a trick. At the same time that they are marrying her, Prince William, the brother of the who she married, is talking about there's too many black people in Africa. Because, and they're overcrowding the animals there. So here he is, they go marry this black woman at the same time, saying that her people need to go away. And yet we are still debating. Well, you know, a friend of mine put it this way. And I say he's on the line. He can bear witness. That was Brother Tony, as a matter of fact. He said that black people have found a cooler spot in hell and ain't about to leave until their house get burned down. I had to laugh on. But we are trying to find a cooler spot in hell instead of us getting out of hell and building a heaven on earth. We built a heaven for white people. Okay? We built it. They brought us over here. We were engineers. We were builders. We were farmers in Africa. Brought us over here, and we built their world for them. We fed them, and we had to feed ourselves. They didn't feed us. We fed them and fed ourselves. We clothed them, and we clothed ourselves. So when we got out of slavery direct, we went to work and about to take over the South. And they went to work on us, lynching us, burning us, blowing up towns, poisoning us, running us out of our communities, running us up to the factories. Then they took the factories away, and they left us there with nothing, a desire to live a lifestyle that we cannot afford.
Right.
And now we're trying to figure out how we can fix it up there in a crumbling infrastructure with no jobs. No, they are wasted cities down south. They're wasted because we left them. We left them, and they're wasted. There are black people already coming back when they're retiring. And so what we can do is organize that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, well, how come we can't get some black folks to move? They are moving.
Right.
We just have to figure out a way to catch up with them so they don't make a mistake as they're moving by moving from New York to moving to Atlanta and moving from a two-hour commuter trip to another two-hour commuter trip. There's places that they can move to outside of Atlanta and the big cities, but they're afraid to do that because they don't know anything better. They don't know anything about that. They have an engram about going in the South because of what the great-great-grandparents were talked about when they were burning them out. So they got an engram. So we're going to have to develop a visitor center so they can come and visit to see that they don't be lynching black folks. Black folks shoot back down here. We got black sheriffs down here, black mayors down here now, okay,
mm-hmm.
black deputies. So
mm-hmm.
this is a lot safer down here than it is up there. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam.
Yeah, okay. Yes, sir. This is Brother Tony. just to kind of really not piggyback, but actually just move on what Dr. Richard just said and what Sister Ann is saying and Sister Majita. I remember growing up, I didn't grow up in a big town. We grew up right outside of Memphis, Tennessee. My family, and that's all the way down to third, fourth cousins, lived on and around the land. It was very uncommon for any white person to even be seen on our land. I always wondered when I was a little boy why white people respected us so much and why they seemed to have some kind of a fear of us. And it was because of my uncles and my father. They had the strength to actually, you know, we're saying this on the air. They actually had the strength to kill white folks. That's a fact. And so, you know, we got to figure out how we were so strong back then.
Mm.
Part of it was, I remember, here it is now, I'm in the country. My oldest brother, my youngest brother, we're trying to follow the rap culture that's out in L.A., out in California, Compton. We wanted to be gangsters. Halfway gangsters, but halfway country. This is real. This is a component to the problem of why we have not separated. My cousin contacted me today saying, look, I got to have a permission from you, so my attorney's got to send you a letter. You know, he's family. We grew up together. You got to sign it to give me permission because I got to refinance my home. I got to get permission from you because your land is where the road runs through. You know, before the land was actually parsed up, my grandmother, before she passed away, she told all of my aunts, my uncles, and my father, don't ever sell 1 acre of the land. Don't even split it up. And what happened after she split it up and a portion of it was sold? And now you got this one white dude whose son's now, he passed away, that sit on the backside of the property where my cousin lives, sitting in the woods trying to intimidate him because they said, well, them boys ain't going to do nothing with the land anyway. They gonna give it to me. I ain't got to worry about buying it. They going to give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he have to get out there with his rifle sometime and make noise with it, you know. And so this is part of what happened, man. They traumatized us. They took us on a cultural journey to hell.
Right.
And I'm sorry to say, but this rap culture and the way we followed that and the trends that took us off of the land. And I'm saying that because, look, this was a country boy growing up in Tennessee that witnessed this growing up. My father, my mother,
the sheriffs, they couldn't even come on the land if anybody was cutting up. They had to ask permission to come up there to arrest anybody. That was the respect that we had. So we got to figure out where that missing link is, why they were so strong then. You know, just a couple of generations from slavery, why they were so strong then, and now we just so docile and weak. Don't care nothing about no, don't want no hard work. You know, we just got to figure that all out all over again. And that's why we're on this call now.
Thank you, Brother Tony. And before we continue, Sister Mary?
Yes, sir.
Before you continue, Sister Mary, hold, you're going to speak next, but we have to introduce another one of our panel members and task force coordinators is on the line. It's Brother Horatio. Brother Horatio, if you can take just a minute to introduce yourself to our listeners. Brother Horatio? Okay, let's try this one more time.
Can
Brother Horatio?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I hear you now.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. I was really calling to kind of respond to something Sister Majida said, but I am a member of the separation committee. Dealing with the engineering plan and development task force. And basically we just, you know, we do the engineering planning and development to try to create our own communities in a nutshell. And that's pretty self-explanatory. I don't want to go in depth in that right now. But I did want to comment on what the sister was saying about some of our people when we're living in these communities. We actually live in the communities that may not have an option right now to separate. However, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came with a message to the black man, and his main objective was to change our behavior and our lifestyle. You know, we have been administered fed that we basically kind of the reason they want to move to remove us is because of the way that we live and the way that we act. They have no more use for us. And so we're really like a scourge to the rest of civilized people. And so we can't continue this behavior that we have and then expect people to want us in the communities. Now, we know that we're dealing with our enemies, but the first thing we can do is change our behavior. Stop running behind people who don't want you living with them, number one. You know, go to your own areas. There's a lot of areas that we can live in if we want to barbecue. And stop barbecuing things that God don't want us barbecuing, you know. So I'm not saying that we're at fault in the way that the enemy acts, but at the same time, we have to change our behavior. That's something we can do, separate from the lifestyle that he put us in. That's the first form, and then eventually we'll separate into our communities. The other point I wanted to make about our own communities and basically what Dr. Ridge was talking about, we have to set up communities basically starting out on a small scale that would attract people, that they will see, hey, it is some black people living and they are at peace with one another. And then we can expand from there. But somebody has to set the examples, and the examples have to be done in the right way so that we can attract our people and they can see the reality of it.
Thank you, Brother Horatio. And Sister Mary, you were going to make a comment.
All praise is due to Allah. Brother Horatio had mentioned the message to the black man. So in the spirit of Ramadan, I wanted to pull the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and then go into the Quran and then tie up everything that everyone has just said using the Quran. So first I want to go into the message to the black man, page 172. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, the members of the black nation who refuse to believe and submit to the truth will be burdened with overwhelming grief and hounded by bitter regret. They will find no relief or rest day or night. Exactly what's going on with us. We go from one situation to another situation on a daily basis.
Right.
If it's, you know, I'm a Muslim in the Nation of Islam. I don't understand why we would be taking our time to talk about a so-called royal wedding. What does that have to do with us? Nothing. It has absolutely nothing to do with us at all. But we go from one situation, and it's a form of distraction. So the coordinating Quranic, so with that, I'm going to go into the Quran, and kiss each other. Oh, and this is Surah 9, the immunity, Ayat 38 and 39. O you who believe, what excuse have you that when it is said to you, go forth in Allah's way, you should incline heavily to the earth? Are you contented with this world's life instead of the hereafter? The provisions of this world's life is but little as compared with the hereafter. If you go not forth, he will chastise you with a painful chastisement and bring in your place a people other than you, and you can do harm him no harm. And Allah is possessor of power of all things. Very simple. This is what we're seeing. We're being severely chastised because we are inclining to this satanic world. Whatever this white man has such control that he moves us in an emotional realm. Now, how can you say that you believe that God appeared in the person of a man and you can be moved emotionally based on news, based on what he does? You the God, we the God. We should not be paying any attention to what he's talking about or what he's doing. I don't care what he's doing. I only care about what we are doing collectively to get away from our open enemy. Of course our people are being chastised because they refuse to listen to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Of course they're being chastised. We are giving them an olive branch, and they knock the olive branch out of our hand. So what do you expect? You expect Becky to come and call the police on you. All right. That's what Becky's function is. And you refuse, when we tell you that the white man is the damn devil, you refuse to listen to it. And so they're showing you, and you still refuse to even open your third eye to see what is so obvious. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I have to say. I just wanted to bring the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad into the fray, and that's where I'm at. Black man's God.
Thank you, Sister Mary. And on that note, we have a caller with a question, last four digits, 3326. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Brother Louis Ali from Louisiana. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
Very powerful show, and I'm in agreement with all that I've heard. I want to add that I was looking at the secession movement that the Caucasians have going, and they have, second only to Texas in Louisiana, over 25,000 Louisianans within 30 days signed to secede from the Union. And I believe that Time to Leave and Dr. Ava Muhammad and all of those of us who've been pushing the failures of integration and pushing to build our own communities are making more progress than what we might know. We're up against something that has never happened since black people walked under the face of the sun. We're dealing with a combination of things. This is the first generation of ignorant, arrogant, broke, and broken black people who have all of that combo together at the same time. But we ignorant, we arrogant, and we broke, and we broken, all wrapped up in one. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan is the first man to ever create a mass movement under the sin and the filth of integration. So I think that and keep doing it, but be mindful that we're not just doing it in Georgia, but there are a substantial amount of black people in Alabama, in Georgia, in Louisiana, in Texas, in Mississippi, who are listening to Time to Lead and are doing things in their respective communities based on what we're learning from these different platforms. I'm going to say this and stop. There's a black preacher in Birmingham, Alabama. His name is Michael Jordan, Reverend Michael Jordan. And he told black people that they need to come out of white churches because white people don't want to live with them. They don't want to be their neighbors, and they really just want to steal the resources out of their community. If we can get black people to see, as Dr. Ridgely sees, that in fact the white man is in fact the devil, we don't need to, that could be something we could use as we've used it in the past as a justification to do something for ourselves. It don't have to be something where we're just going around calling white people names. But once you understand who they are, you can really start the work of doing something for yourself. So I'm hoping that we can do a town hall meeting in Birmingham, Alabama, and begin to try to separate and build up some communities all around the country. So please keep up the good work. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir. Well, we have another one of our panel members. Praise be to Allah. We have a full show today. We have our panel member over the Land Market Task Force. Her name is Sister Katina. Sister Katina, if you can introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your task force and any other announcements you may have.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam,
man.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
It has been an excellent show. I'm so happy to be able to be a part of such a wonderful task force in this time to leave. My committee is the Land and Market Committee. We are, our primary function is to locate land and property and build, but to help those who are interested in coming down be able to facilitate your ability to do so in an organized fashion where you don't have, as Dr. Ridgely always says, you don't have to make so many mistakes, or you don't have to bump your head, or you can kind of gain a little bit of direction in how to go about doing it. As well as we are working on projects that will start. Our own little corner of the world, our own little community building. So we have teamed up with people from particularly the Brownwood area and Terrell County in order to be able to make it happen. So there will be updates forthcoming with that. We are like Sister Mary always says, we are super excited. So be listening out for that. I'm going to make the announcement as Brother Carlson, and then I will ask my question because it's based on something Sister Ann was saying. But I just want to invite you to the listeners to the Time to Leave website. That's timetoleave.us. Time to Leave. That means it's time to go. That means, you know, like when your parents come wake you up for school and they're like, look, when you're running late, it's time to go. Like, we don't have like a whole lot to talk about. We got to get our stuff, and we got to get on up out of here. So it is time to leave. Please visit us at timetoleave.us, and you will be able to see all of the task force that were introduced to you today and see where you can get in, see where you can be of help. And you can go in and you can state where you'd like to help, what your talent is, what your vision is, what your experiences are, and we will see what we can do to join you all with a task force. Also, we are available to you on Facebook, social media, and that is Time to Leave. it's a recurring theme here, you guys. Time to leave, because it is time to go. It is time to separate from this enemy. So you can contact us on Facebook. You can leave questions. You can make comments. You can like a status. You can do whatever you are inspired to do with respect to time to leave and our ability to separate from this enemy. So that's all for the announcements for right now. And I just wanted to segue into my question or comment with this. Sister Ann spoke about some of us not knowing what it's like to be a community. And I didn't grow up in a community in the South, but I did grow up in a community in St. Louis, an all-Black community. And it was just that. Everybody looked out for one another. I mean, it was like a matriarch of the community. It was a patriarch of the community, a grandma, a big mama who you could go to and, hey, you know, such and such is happening down the street. Or Miss Johnson don't got no food. And grandma would get the food together and gather the women together, and then they would go take us some food. And they never made any reputation of it. They just did it, and they allowed her to keep her dignity, and they helped the family. That's how I grew up. So I'm happy to catch a little bit of piece of that reality so that I could be able to do what I'm saying is self-proclaiming is a part of my calling for why I'm on the planet at this time, helping us to separate from this enemy. But I wanted to say this from a book of lessons for the Muslims. It says, big fields are awaiting for the wide awake man to work out. Arise the dead. By the thousands, the dead nation must arise, for the time is at hand. Work cheerfully and fear not. You are the righteous, the best, and the powerful. And so with that being said, we can build this community wherever we want it, whether we want it in Georgia, we want it in Alabama, we want it in Tennessee. We can build, my focus primarily right now is in Georgia, but we can build our community. We don't need our natural enemy for anything to be able to do it. And if we can, then we'll just see if he's been studying for his 35 to 50 years to come and do training among us.
Come
but
on.
If we create it, if we put it there, then it will exist. And I just want to end with this point. The enemy does not, when he wanted to make soda pop, there was no soda pop available. But he made the soda pop, and then he created the interest for the soda pop. And then he called you and I to think we weren't having a gathering unless we had soda pop. And now he's killing us with the soda pop. So we got to get out of this thinking that it has to already exist or the enemy has to start it before we can do anything about it. We are the best, the righteous, the powerful. We can do this. We must do it. We shall do it. May Allah continue to bless you. That's all I wanted to say.
Assalamualaikum. Ooh, Allah Akbar. Who wants to go behind Sister Katina? We have 6 minutes. Go ahead.
No callers?
Not at this time. So any comments, any follow-up? Sister Katina said a lot. Brother Lewis said a lot. Any questions or comments?
Well, I just want to commend Sister Katina on her delivery. She is a powerful speaker. I've heard her speak before, and she delivers extremely well. And if people don't understand from what she just left us with and what others have said, Brother Horatio, Sister Vegeta, if people don't understand now, they're just not willing. Mm-hmm. And I look at Facebook sometimes. I'm a late person on Facebook, but since I've been on Facebook, I see some of the nonsense, as Sister Mary said, that we engage in conversation. I mean, what does that got to do with us? You know, and I take every opportunity I can in a response or reply to talk about separation. Every time somebody is talking about these problems, I even post it. I am so sick and tired of seeing all of these posts and pictures about how we as Black people being mistreated by white folks. Anytime we see that, we need to remind ourselves that separation or death It's the mantra now.
Right.
You're
going
to continue
right.
to receive
right.
that kind of treatment until we – now, these white folk, as Brother Lewis has said, or I think it was Brother Lewis, talked about secession, seceding, establishing separate territories. You know, if that mentality is going on among them, they should not be fighting us when we say, hey, we want to get up out of here too. And
sure.
talk about what the black preacher is doing, telling black folks to come out of them white churches. Now, we can't forget what the minister said. Allah is going to make us separate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how long has that been going on? For years. Now that he's losing his congregation, he can talk against it.
Huh?
That's the law's planning.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. So, Sister Ann, if we can take that as your closing comment, we're down to 3 minutes. Any other panel members want to make a closing comment? Then I'll speak at once.
This is Sister Majida. I'll just be brief. You know, everything that was said, praise be to Allah. I think about what Brother Louis Ali says, and I thank him every time he comes on, just to kind of encourage us and remind us just to keep on trying and be patient, because it's such a difficult work. It really is, especially when you have the mindset and you already see. You know, it's difficult to try to convince the people of what they should see with everything that's going on in the world. So it always makes me feel good when I hear Brother Lewis say, just keep on and you know, progressing, and because you need that. You need that in this difficult work. It's hard. It's hard trying to convince our people, you know. It really is. So I thank him for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Majida. Anyone else? Go ahead.
Well, you know, the reason that we have this conference, I mean, this call, is that we have a conference call on Sunday. The conference call is really for the committees to give reports and then plans and coordination, so for the work. But we set this up, this blog talk program, for people to talk on the issue of separation to reinforce as to why we need to do what we are doing. And so it is good to be in the company of believers who believe in separation, because once you are with Negroes and their confusion, you definitely want to go someplace where you can be at peace and hear the truth and work with people who want to do the right thing. So I thank you all for participating. And next week, I think we're going to have the relocation committee. Am I right, Brother Collins, Sister Majida?
No, sir. We're going to have the skilled trades next week. So all of you people that work with your hands, and you got youth that you want to get into the skilled trades, this is the show you definitely want to get into. Is that right, Brother Tony? Brother Tony's probably on mute right now. But praise be to Allah, yes it is. So
that
we
is,
have one
that
minute.
Is, some like, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, that is correct. That is correct, yes, sir. I'm driving through a storm right now, so you have to excuse me.
Yes, sir, but we don't want you to get in an accident, brother, so go and get back and focus on your driving. So we have down to the last 45 seconds. And anybody else have any comments before we close the show? Well, I just want to thank our listeners for tuning in and supporting our show. Please go to our Facebook page, our website, and please share with all your friends, your family, what we're doing, and participate in our exodus to our own community of our own. And thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Well, there's one more thing. I want to make an announcement. This Saturday, May 26th, we had to reschedule because of the weather, our first annual Muhammad Farms Weed Pulling Festival. And for those who come and pull, Sister Ann will produce a delicious meal, and we will be playing the music from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's CD album. So we're talking about having a real hoedown starting 8 a.m. this Saturday, May 26th, Muhammad Farms Weed Pulling Festival. As-salamu alaykum.
Provide.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you, sir.
Wa alaykum salam.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand your ignorance?
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters be messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my fair tire.
Down to Peace Street. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. Why my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. For some strange reason, it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
Take me to another place. Take me to another land. Make me forget all.
Tennessee.